And in Luke chapter 5 at verse 38 we read this: new wine must be poured into new wineskins. New wine must be poured into new wineskins. It's the new year. As we find out with the children earlier on, what is really new apart from the year? It's funny, isn't it, that we treat New Year as though it was ushering in a new age. So it was somehow changing everything, when it, of course, doesn't do that at all. We've heard a lot this year about the number of deaths of famous people, popular musicians, celebrities. And some people have been saying in the last few days, when some more have died, you know, 2016, will you please end? As though that's going to make a difference. As though somehow celebrities won't die in 2017. As though 2017 is somehow a new quality of time. But it's not. 2017 is going to be exactly the same as 2016. More of the same in our lives and in our land. Unless something new from outside, a new element, comes in and transforms. And that new element is going to have to be Jesus. Only Jesus can really make things change, really transform people and lives and communities and countries from within. And the reason for that is very simple. It's because you and I are creatures of habit. Now, when I was thinking about this, I realised that almost everything that we do habitually, or in a habitual way. Think about it. We are basically lazy. We don't like to have to change. We don't like to have to think about things and do them in a new way. Like, even something like walking along the road, you don't reinvent the way you walk every day. If, like me, you're brought up in Alness, you kind of walk like a gudgee, because that's how you learn to walk. Everyone else in Alness walk like that, and that's how you walk. And you don't think about, well, I need to put this leg in front of this one, and I need to swing this arm this way. You don't do that. It's completely habitual, and all your movements are like that, just about. If you play a musical instrument, you're putting habit into your life, complex habit, so that you can just repeat it and repeat it. You brush your teeth in a habitual way. You get dressed in the morning in a habitual way. You drive your car in a habitual way. You don't think about what you're doing. You don't think about how to make a cup of coffee every time you make a cup of coffee. You don't think, how do I do this? Let's think about it. You just do it because it's habit. When you sign your name, when you go to the supermarket and select whichever brand of breakfast cereal you normally buy, it's all automatic, it's all habitual. And in your mind, it's the same. Your brain has processes of thought that run in predictable channels, just like those channels of water that are running off the hill just now, with all the rain we've had. They always run off in exactly the same place. Can see the same channels, and our minds are like that. They're habitual. They like to work in predictable ways. So if I say to you, Happy New, every one of you thinks sausages, don't you? No, you don't. You don't think sausages. You think year, because your brain works like that. It's predictable. When you're dealing with people, like husbands and wives, the husband has this kind of predictable range of kind of ways of thinking of why he's right and she's wrong. And the wife is the same. Just, we have our own sort of accounts of everything. We have our reasons why we think Donald Trump is wonderful or terrible. And we have this, you know, we have all kinds of habits like that in our brains. Because it takes less effort to think things out from first principles every time you do them. Which is why we'd rather not learn. If you're one or two of you are here today are students, You're supposed to be learning. But it's much easier to watch daft YouTube videos when you should be studying, isn't it? Ely? Yes? Yes, it is. It is. And that's why, as a student, because it's easier just to do the sort of the lazy thing. You find it easier to just go surfing away on some kind of non-thinking direction rather than to actually study and learn new stuff and put new stuff in. And it's why most of us aren't students, because students, it's hard work to be a student, hard work to learn new things, habit. If you sum up what I'm saying, we are all so predictable that we're almost all the sum of our habits, you know. So if you've got someone that knows you well, they can predict you. You know, a wife says, I know exactly what my husband thinks. And you don't need to ask him, I'll tell you what he's going to think. I'll tell you what you'll see. That's what it's like. Now that, of course, is great news if today you're a manufacturer and you're trying to tailor your advertising to certain people, because you know that they'll always go for this thing. They're predictable. It's great news for the devil as well. The devil says, this is an easy job I have to tempt people because they're so habitual. They're so predictable. If I got them yesterday with this, I'll get them today. But it's bad news. It's bad news for relationships. It's bad news for our marriages. It's bad news for friendships. Because they can become stale. They can become humdrum. But what is worst of all news for is our relationship with God. There is no greater danger for us than that our relationship with God just becomes habitual, just becomes stagnant and lifeless and formal. And what once was alive just becomes religion. It's bad news that we're such creatures of habit if what we really believe we should be as Christians is people who are developing a deeper relationship, who are developing Christian character, Christian love, who are developing a lifestyle which says, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. So as far as the old slogan, New Year, New You, is concerned, it isn't going to happen unless we really sit up and take notice of what God wants us to do today. And he says in verse 38, we must pour new wine into new wineskins. So today, it's time for us to put some new wine into new wineskins. If we want it to be really a new year, and not just the old year with a new calendar, then we need to sit up and take notice to the fact that if we want life, if we want newness, it's got to be from God we get it. And we've got to be people who aren't just clinging to our habits and trying to keep things the same. Because if we are, we'll be resisting the life of God. Now we read from verse 33 to verse 39. I want to just go through that really quickly with you, just so you get the picture of what Jesus is saying. So verse 33, John's disciples and the Pharisees, they represent the old ways. They represent the old way of the letter of the law and of the rituals of the Old Testament. And they're performing according to the habits that they have from that time. And the challenge is, why are your disciples not doing that, Jesus? And Jesus says, well, I'm the bridegroom. You know, in a wedding, everything's new. You don't do things in the old way at a wedding. I'm the bridegroom and my church is the bride. And when I'm with them, they're not just going to go and do the same old things, because I'm with them and I bring life and I bring newness, a new beginning, a vibrancy, an excitement, an adventure, a relationship, a romance. They've got all of that in me. You can't expect them to do the old things, is what Jesus is saying. And then he tells a couple of parables. There's the patch. The patch that you want to use to repair a garment, and you tear off a new garment and sew it into an old garment, and what happens? It doesn't match, says Jesus. It doesn't work. And Matthew and Mark also have versions of this parable where they say what happens is when you put it in the wash, the new material shrinks and tears away from the old, and it's even worse than before. You can't, says Jesus, try and take the new life that I've got and patch it onto the old ways, the old habits that you had in the past. You can't do that. And in another parable, he speaks about wine and wineskins. The wineskins were actually goat skins, so they actually, it's not very nice to think about, they kind of cleared out all the flesh out of the goat and all the bones and everything and just were left with the skin, and they tied all the feet off and the ends and used them as big containers for wine or for other things. And of course, if your wineskin had dried out and it was old, then it lost its elasticity. And if you try to put fermenting new wine into it and seal it up, the new wine, the pressure would burst the wineskin, the old wineskin. You can't put new wine into new wineskins, into old wineskins. You've got to have a flexibility. You've got to have a readiness to change if you're going to have the new wine of my life, says Jesus. You're going to have to change. You can't stay the way you were. Your habits can't be maintained. You've got to become a new person. That's what the force of the parable is. And yet he says at the end of chapter 5, no one after drinking old wine wants the new. The fact is, so many people say, well, you know what? I just prefer the way things were. I like the old ways. I like my traditions. I like my habits. I like my life as it is. I don't want the new wine of Jesus. I don't want the new wine of Jesus' life. So what does this mean for you and me? Well, it means that if you're going to call yourself a Christian today, then that means you've got to have the new life of Jesus in you. He is the bridegroom, and you are the bride of Christ. And he comes to you with a new relationship. He comes to you as the Lord. He comes to you with challenge, with command. He comes to you offering a new beginning that is always going to take you to new things. It's going to be new every day. He comes to you with salvation, with preservation, with provision, with life, with a future. He comes to you as everything. And if you're going to respond to him, then he's going to take over the whole horizon of your life, your whole future. This love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. Jesus wants to completely change us. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. That's what it means. So it means you can't be a Christian and keep your old habits. You can't be a Christian and stay the same. You can't say, well, I like my life as it is, but I like Jesus as well, so I'll have a bit of him here and a wee bit of him there. You can't do that with Jesus. You can't patch Jesus onto your life and try and keep control and maintain your habits. And today it might be that you're thinking, well, I'm beginning 2017, and to be honest, spiritually, I'm pretty lackluster. I'm pretty lifeless. And it could be that the reason for that is you are trying to be a Christian while maintaining all your old habits, while maintaining life as it is. You want to pour new wine into an old wineskin. You can't do it. If you try, you will suffer. Jesus speaks about the destruction of the garments, the new and the old garment, in the parables he uses in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He speaks about how The new patch tears away, and the new patch has spoiled the new garment it was taken from. If you try and patch Jesus onto your life, then you will suffer. Because the bit of Jesus you've got in your life won't match the rest of your life. You'll be a hypocrite. Because people say, okay, so they've got this little Jesus bit, but what about the rest of them? That hasn't changed. You can't do that, says Jesus. And if you try to do that, the old will tear away, says Jesus. You'll lose Jesus too. See, Jesus is not a patch for your life. And if you have a view of Jesus that says, I'll have a bit of Jesus here and a bit of Jesus there, then you've got such a low view of Jesus that you're really treating with great disrespect. Our Lord Jesus comes to us on the 1st of January 2017 as Lord and God. And he is calling you and me to wholehearted obedience, to follow him with everything. He's not a patch to put on bits of our lives. He is our Lord to embrace for the whole of life. Jesus needs space, just like that fermenting new wine. He needs space to expand. He needs space in our lives. We mustn't try to contain him. We mustn't say, well, you know, I'll just have a bit of Jesus kind of in this corner of my life, but I know all my friends are watching, and I know that the people I work with are watching, and I'm going to try and hide Jesus from them so that they don't laugh at me, or so they don't think less of me. Or, you know, you can't do that. That's like putting new wine into old wineskins, trying to keep your life the same so no one notices the difference. Well, you have all the benefits of Jesus, you can't do that. It doesn't work. It's time to let Jesus access all areas of your life. You have to, verse 30 says, put new wine into new wineskins. If you want Jesus, you've got to be a new wineskin. You've got to be someone who says, Lord, you can change anything in my life that you want to. If there's anything that's not right in my life, I offer it to you, you can have it. If there's any habit, if there's any pattern of life, if there's any part of my lifestyle, anything about my choices, anything about my preferences that's not right, Lord, you can have it. You can take it away. You can change it. Everything is yours, Lord. That's what it means to be a Christian. When you read about the coming of Jesus in the Bible, the word new is used all the time. Jesus opens up for us a new and a living way, the Bible says. He brings a new covenant. He brings a new command. He brings a new heart, a new spirit. He makes us new in the attitude of our minds. He brings a new order. He brings the new birth. He puts a new song in our mouths. He makes us belong to a new creation, and so on. It's all there in the Bible. Jesus makes us new. And that's the exciting newness that we can really celebrate on New Year's Day. Because actually, if we really take an honest look at ourselves, nothing else is new. And the kids saw that. Nothing else is new. There is no reason to celebrate New Year's Day if all it means is just that we've changed the clock or the calendar or something like that. That's nothing to celebrate. What we can celebrate is new life in Jesus Christ. But as new life, then it really means that we change. We have to change. So, what about Levi? We read about Levi. Levi has been wondering what to do with Jesus for quite a while. And little does Levi realize that this particular day is decision day. This is his new year. This is his day of change. See, Levi is a creature of habit. He wakes up the same time every day. He gets up from his bed and he dresses himself methodically in exactly the same way every day. He tidies his bed in the usual manner. He goes through to breakfast, and his servant has prepared for him the same meal he prepares for him every day. 2 eggs, soft-boiled, with a couple of barley scones, made with olive oil, sliced into fingers, which he dips into his eggs. He does this every day. A goblet of water. A fillet of broiled fish freshly caught from the Sea of Galilee that morning. A cluster of grapes. He pours water onto his hands to wash, then sits down to eat his meal in the same seat every day. His servant switches on the wireless. This is a wee bit of imagination here. Switches on the wireless and tunes into Radio Galilee every day. And he listens to the news. And at precisely 7 a.m. every day, he leaves his house with his briefcase under his arm and takes a 10-minute walk to his tax collector's booth. And it's all so comfortingly familiar every day, and it's totally dead. Except for one thing. On the wireless that morning, he's heard that Jesus is in town and that he's gathering followers. He's turning people's lives upside down. What will Matthew do if Jesus comes for him? What of my beloved routines and my precious habits, my lifestyle, thinks Matthew to himself. And now he's sitting at his booth and the crowd is approaching, and Matthew knows that in the middle of that crowd is Jesus. He endures the usual stony stares from people who don't approve of him working for the Romans. And then all of a sudden, Jesus is standing before him. And he issues just a couple of words. Follow me. And in a moment, Matthew, Levi, same person, sees what a privilege it is that Jesus would call him. Why should I be chosen, he thinks to himself, whom so many other people despise? Jesus wants me. What'll he do? Will his habits, like chains, bind him to his old life? Will he try to keep his old life, try to keep in with Jesus too, and somehow do that thing where you try to keep the world on your side and keep Jesus on side? No. No patches for Matthew. No old wineskins. Handing his briefcase to his colleague, he gets up and he goes with Jesus and with Peter and Andrew and James and John, his former clients, into a new life. For Matthew, it is happy new life. Later that day, Matthew is at his home. The servant's been busy because there's a full house, and he's entertaining them all at what is called a great banquet. It's a happy new life party, not a happy new year party. It's a happy new life party. And he hears Jesus describe himself as a doctor who came for the sick. And Matthew realizes, my old life was sick. All those routines and habits would have been the death of me, says Matthew. Now he has a new devotion, a new life, a new love. For Matthew, the new wine is flowing freely. What about you? Will you just go forward from today resting on the habits of the past? If you're a Christian today, there's a real temptation you do that. There's a real temptation you say, yes, Roddy, I know what you're on about today, because you see, I'm a Christian. I became a Christian last year or 50 years ago, you say to yourself. But you know what happens? Is that if you've become a Christian, the new habits, the new life that you got when you became a Christian can easily become old habits, stale ways of living, old wineskins. And your Christianity becomes habit. It becomes habitual. You do the same thing every week. You go to church on Sunday morning. You one or two other things you maybe go to during the week. And you have a daily routine whereby you pray or you read the Bible at a certain time or whatever. And that's it. The life of Jesus that once was vibrant, bursting out of you second by second, has just become a set of routines, new habits that have become stale, old wineskins. And what happens then is when Jesus does challenge you, maybe you are reading the Bible and there is a challenge there in what you read, or maybe he lays some burden on your heart for someone, maybe you hear some kind of new command from him, some new challenge, maybe you're listening to a sermon and he's poking at your heart and saying, this needs to change. Or maybe it's some new thing in the community. Maybe there's some call for a special day of prayer or a special time of prayer. Or maybe it's volunteers to help with some new enterprise in the Christian church. You don't do it because you've got a routine of Christianity. It's become an old wineskin. That's a tragedy, but it happens to us all. I recognise it in my own life. You've got to work at this all the time and not become ossified, not become stuck and stagnant and stale. Because the life of Jesus is just that. It's life. It's not habit. It's life. Oh, it's good to have habits in the sense of, yeah, to want to read the Bible every day or whatever. That's great. But don't read it in a stagnant way. You know, you're coming to it for life. You're coming to it and saying, Lord, meet with me again today. Change me again today. Bring new life to me again today. Lord, I can't accept ritual. I can't accept routine. I can't accept stuff becoming just dead and lifeless and formal, and I just do them because I've always done them as a Christian. I can't accept that, Lord. I need you to meet with me and give me fresh life, fresh marching orders today, a fresh insight into your saving love today. I need you to do that, Lord. We need to work at this. It takes effort. We need to be students. Students of Jesus. Students of his word. It takes effort. It takes hard work to follow Jesus. We've got to be up for it. So Jesus comes alongside you all today and he says, follow me. Maybe you haven't begun to follow him today yet, and it's just a case of you're going to be the same old you in 2017 as you were in 2016. It's that a bit older, a bit more hard-bitten, a bit more cynical, a bit more disappointed, a bit more fearful about the future and so on. Well, why not just forget that and embrace Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the Son of God. Listen to him. Let his life come into your life. His spirit fill your life and empower you. Whatever habits you have then that get in the way of you following Jesus today, they mustn't. You've got to put them aside. You've got to pour the new wine into new wineskins. Do it. Do it now. Jesus doesn't want us all just to go home and say, right, been to church, let's just get on with our nice humdrum quiet lives again. No. This community of Kyle needs to see disciples. You see people who are radically prepared to listen to Jesus and to do what Jesus says, and to love with the love of Christ, and to have the character of Christ. and to go against the tide. We're not afraid to be seen to believe different things, to have a different set of standards by which they live than everyone else. That's what they need. They need to see. Because, look, our community, as well as our country, and the Western world and the whole world, is lost just now. We're talking now about post-truth. We're talking about people not really having to believe anything. That's a road to destruction. A complete road to destruction. We need to be people who model the fact that we know that our Redeemer lives. We know what's right and what's wrong because Jesus Christ has shown it to us so that people can be drawn to Him. Because we're new people, we're new life. Jesus said He isn't calling for New Year's resolutions. I don't know if you've made any, but I'm not disparaging your New Year's resolutions. If you've made any, I'm not disparaging them. But they're just patches. They're just patches on the old life. Jesus is calling you to new life in the Spirit. By the way, I'm not just there giving you an excuse to not to do the diet that you've decided you're going to do. Okay, that's possibly quite a good thing. But Jesus wants us not to be patched up with bits here and there that leave us essentially the same. He wants to come into us with a vibrancy, a fullness of life that transforms everything. I'm sure that some of you last night popped champagne corks. Well, don't be like a champagne bottle in 2017. You know what a champagne bottle's like? It's a bottle that's under immense pressure, trying to hold the champagne in. Don't be a Christian like that. Trying to hold Jesus in, trying to... I want my life. I want my life as it is. I want to stay the way things been the same as they are. And you're like that champagne bottle under immense pressure, trying to hold the life of Jesus under cork. You can't do that. Jeremiah tried it on one occasion. He tells us in Jeremiah 20, "If I say I will not mention His word, or speak any more in His name, His word is in my heart like a fire. Like a fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot." We mustn't try and hold in the life that Jesus gives. The life that Jesus gives is to flow out of us like champagne out of an uncorked bottle. Fizzing and bubbling with life. That's what we should be like. We should be the champagne in this community every day. So, Jesus is challenging us today to let the champagne of His life flow from us. He's challenged us to join Matthew, to join Levi at the banquet of sinners there. He's challenging us to join Him and celebrate the new life that Jesus gives, and to let Jesus' truth, Jesus' love, Jesus' joy, Jesus' obedience just flow from your life. That's the vision. What a vision for 2017. The alternative is for you to die a little more in 2017 in your habits. You go and die. Just go and die in your old habits. Just go and do the same old stuff. It's so dead. It's so boring. It's so lifeless. It's so Christless. Or you can have Jesus. And you can have life. You can have out of your innermost being rivers of living water flowing. The new wine of the kingdom. Generously to pour out for the thirsty souls of our community. So go and be the new wine. Go and be the life of Jesus in our community. Don't hold back. He who tries to keep his life will lose it, Jesus says. But he who loses his life for my sake will gain it. Don't try to hold on to the old. Don't try to put new wine into old wineskins. Don't try to patch a garment with a bit of Jesus. Give him your all in 2017. Everything. Lord Jesus, everything.